Good morning. Wow. I want to express my gratitude to you for giving me this opportunity to speak. Thank you also for getting up that hour earlier. And Larry, I am so grateful for your insight and profound voice of reflection. I had planned a sermon for you today that touched on the life-changing art of choice in how we spend our lives decluttering up our thinking and taking the huge step to end clutter's tyranny, and as a result, making time for insight and joy. But life had other plans about what should be said today. You can judge whether or not my excuse has merit. I lost this important hour of sermon preparation from my highly organized, heavily regimented seminary schedule because I made time for justice. Like Marie Kondo's organizing method of physically tackling our external mess that results in life-changing magic, the creation of space that inside ourselves for change, spiritual growth is not just about our insideness, but also can be found with our externalness. Spiritual growth happens when you make time to take time and let go of the tyranny of what you think you should be doing. On Wednesday evening, March 6th, Reverend Rogers suggested that I attend this church's environmental justice group meeting, a vibrant collection of UUs and people from the community of Arden Arcade, EJ, as they called themselves, unites with the Sacramento branch of Area Congregations Together, or ACT, a social justice, community-forward organization. I was very pressed for time, but this meeting was in my monthly calendar, so I showed up. The meeting was beautiful in its clarity and purpose, its hopeful view, despite the struggles they were facing and would continue to encounter. After the meeting, I was also asked to attend a gathering of clergy early the next morning at a downtown church that was to support a newly created piece of government legislation. My calendar was so booked, my heart pounding out of my chest as I thought, I'm going to lose at least an hour if I attend this event. I will fall so behind in my schoolwork. I'll never graduate. I'll never become a minister. Never. What do I do? These thoughts piled up as I reviewed my calendar late that evening. It was obvious this mess was of my own making. I needed to clean it up. When I woke the next morning to the sun shining, my decision was made. The Sacramento ACT Group's chairperson explained at the previous night's meeting that the event downtown was to show support specifically for passage of a new bill called Assembly Bill 392. And its authors, State Assembly members Dr. Shirley Weber and Kevin McCarty. The ACLU supported this bill and described it as, and I quote, a bill that will clarify that police officers can use deadly force only when there are no alternatives that would prevent death or serious bodily injury. Officers' conduct leading up to the shooting will also be considered when determining whether deadly force is justified. Not just the moment the officer pulls their trigger. Wow. With so much negative police action occurring in the last weeks, indeed in the last years, how could I not attend this event? It's my life's work to show up and give support. It was Thursday morning, March 7th. Which was also the 54th anniversary of the bloody confrontation between police and peaceful protesters on the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. called simply Selma today, the parallel between the recent protest on the 51st Street Bridge in Sacramento, the way California police handled that situation, how they arrested 84 protesters who were, like what happened in Selma 54 years ago, also responding to the murder of an innocent man of color. This was not a coincidence. During another lost hour of my commute, I recalled a conversation at the previous night's meeting about how there are two types of people in church, contemplative and externally active. This binary thinking, the heart of Western thought, made me smile. Because in Mahayana Buddhist tradition, taking physical action is spiritual practice. For example, the action of sorting through your closet works to transform your inner closet. Buddhists call that inner closet alaya. Buddhists have a name for everything. Mahayana tradition also says that the time is of your own making. Therefore, you are responsible for feeling its effects. Thus, you have a choice on how to respond to those effects by creating or eliminating time for what you want and or what you need. Coming to the event was my choice. The event was crowded with press, clergy, and lay leaders. I squeezed past attendees, both standing and sitting, who also wore black ribbons, carrying the names of those who had died by the police violence. After opening introductions, the invited clergy gave sermons, ranging from inspiring anti-slavery songs to fiery inspirational call-outs, naming of the situation, such as, "This is our Selma," and sustaining the passion to show up for justice. I was proud to see you used there. The group Surge, are you in here? Is anybody here from Surge today? Yay! All these speeches addressed the latest events, especially the protest on East Sacramento's 51st Bridge, which resulted in the arrests of 84 people, two of whom were injured with the use of force. Most of those attending, if not all, could not help but reflect one sentiment, the intensity of that message. This is 2019, not 1950. Where is progress? What happened to our collective voice? As I looked around to me, though silent in this thought, it was inspiring and beautiful to observe the many ways various clergy from all over the state proudly wore their colors of theological affiliation. Ornate stoles, sparkling jackets, large wooden necklaces, and of course, the simple white collar. And yet, despite this gathering of faith, I felt very alone. Fortunately, I was with clergy who are trained to notice that. And I was greeted with love and a plastic sign gently pressed into my hands. Their collective anticipation of the day's unfolding was infectious and sobering as we were reminded to be the faith shield as we marched in front of our lay leaders. Our leader, Reverend McBride, our coordinator, bullhorn in hand, led us on chanting the usual mantras like "no justice, no peace," and my personal fave, "this is what democracy looks like." As we approached the Capitol, I realized this was the first time I'd ever been here. And I'm a native Californian. This is my state. Stumbling over the curb as I stared up at the dome-shaped building of power and policy, this was not how I imagined my first visit to be. There was a strange sensation of feeling untethered, as if the universe heard my cry for centeredness. The chant shifted, a tower bell clanged, and our leader boomed, "This is what theology looks like." I regained my footing. We clergy surged forward. This was our time, time for us to be seen, to be heard. Time for us to be fully present. Change wasn't just coming, it was here with us. Whether standing or holding a sign or telling impassioned stories, my height, thankfully, precluded any kind of press cameras. I don't photograph well. The spacious sky revealed itself. The clouds parted, a sign that it was time to make space for change. And in that space, hold and reflect and honor all deep feelings. We held space for those who could not be there, space for those affected by the past actions of police violence, including those who did the job as police. We acknowledge that police violence affects its officers. The weight and trauma is never acknowledged and results in police officers experiencing suicide. Many were and are young police officers. At that moment, I grievingly recalled my own brother, a deputy coroner and police officer, who 43 years ago took his own life for exactly those reasons. After the speeches, we clergy gathered together, planning a ritual for inside the Capitol, specifically in front of a senator's office. After passing through security, I saw two young state troopers standing guard at the entrance to the Capitol. They seemed tense, unsure perhaps of how they would be treated by us amidst the chants of end police violence. But at that moment, all I saw was my own brother, and their uniforms recalled for me a story my late father told me as a child, whenever I asked my father why he chose to become a police detective. "It's their hats, the Smokey the Bear hat, and I really wanted to wear one," he said. The memory was as vivid as now. So in both honoring my brother and father, I broke from the clergy crowd, went over, and told them I appreciated their service. They visibly relaxed, and they knew, I knew, what their jobs meant to them. The hallway rang with our refrains of the hymn, "This Little Light of Mine," addended with, "End police violence in our time." Reverend McBride reminded us that we were not guests in the Capitol House. This was the house of the people, and we are the people. We belong here. He asked us to feel the power of that moment of belonging. The plan formed. We were to beseech a senator named Caballero. We were to ask the senator not to push for legislation against AB 392, but to support it. Then we would conclude our ritual at the door of the senator's office. The ritual consisted of dropping a white carnation tied with the ribbons many wore on their arms and to say the names those ribbons bore as we dropped the flowers at the door. Suddenly, we were praying and pleading with the senator's chief of staff, who was African-American and known as a congregant to one of the pastors in our room. He listened to the message we were bringing to end the killing, end the lack of accountability, and to remind the senator that in the senator's own district of Salinas, 20-year-old Brenda Rodriguez Mendoza recently died as a result of police action. We prayed for hope and change and returned to the hallway for our planned flower ritual. The clergy stepped forward with their flowers and cried out, "Angel Ramos, presente. Joseph Mann, ashe. Willie McCoy, Eduardo Reyes, ashe, presente." As the flowers slowly gathered on the floor, the clergy made space for each of us to step forward. Suddenly it was my turn. I struggled for a name to call out with my flower. I held it above my head, first to the door, and then said, "For the First Nations people, for those who were here at the beginning." There was an audible gasp, a breath of recognition, a realization of how long this killing had been going on. In speeches given that morning on those affected by police violence, the term Native had been oddly absent. Yet the first genocidal violence in the creation of this nation was taken towards the first people. Not just here, but in every place that has ever been colonized in the name of exploration and governments across the world. I did not expect what happened next. It was like a barrier was lifted. Others came forward with, for all the Jane Does of color who died. For our trans and LGBTQs of color. And finally, for those who cannot speak. Flower upon flower hit the floor. The concluding prayer and rallying speech suddenly included the word Native in the word list of black and brown. We all agreed that we experienced deep spiritual presence in being actively external about faith and to continue this external application of faith. We were then asked to take the 10, 10, 10 vow. What is that? Okay, the first 10 in the 10, 10, 10 stands for 10 hours. Within 10 hours, I am to post my experiences on social media. I think I did that. Check. The second 10 in the 10, 10, 10 vow stands for 10 days. In or within 10 days, because we all knew Saturday and Sunday was coming up, we must preach or write in a public space a reflection about what had happened. Did I do it? Okay. The third 10 in the 10, 10, 10 vow stands for 10 weeks. In 10 weeks, I need to show back up for justice, either at the Capitol or in my community or at another political gathering or march on the same subject, and hopefully bring at least 10 others with me. So anybody want a carpool? Now, here's the thing. I decluttered my schedule and lost an hour, and I was afraid to lose it. The space created from that schedule decluttering actually gave me 10 hours, 10 days, and 10 weeks. Wow. And yes, I feel firecrackers worth of joy. My lost hour exposed me to rich experiences in ways I could never plan for myself. So what to take away from this tale today? There is no authority saying that you must be or have a certain way or time for tasks or experiences in your life's calendar. You have a choice on how to manage, organize, to clean up your space and time. Making room for change begins with the outward, external changes and changes the inside, the inward self. There is no category for spiritual practice. Everything you do, everything you are, everything you experience is your spiritual practice. And you are growing through your actions, your insights, and your life's day-to-day routine. Understand that moments of discomfort are learning opportunities to reflect about what really challenges you, the why and the why not. I was recently told by a Jesuit chaplain friend of mine that the word confidence means to trust deeply. Trust faith. Don't fear it. Trust the faith in your inner voice to express your outer being. You've all lived so deeply. You've got solutions. Just sort through them and give them some space in your life. Have confidence that what you do matters. And lastly, be a witness. Use curiosity as your lens. Your vantage point is unique, welcomed, and needed now more than ever. You are valued for your presence. No, it is required. Change is here now. Let us clear away the clutter of apathy and fear and make space for the joy of participation. Your actions can lay the foundation for the positive community change that can be sustained. Let us make space for this. Let us do this together. And let us do it in joy. For all beings, not one left behind. Amen. And blessed be.